Roller Derby. It's both delightful and different in itself, but when you add in horror and comic books, it takes on a life of its own. I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. My next guest is a retired roller derby player who's taking the sport to the big screen in the form of a full-length horror movie and a comic book series.
Hi, my name is Sana, and I am a filmmaker and comic creator.
And so you are actually working on something very specific called Hellskate.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what Hellskate is. I understand it's not just a movie, it's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, well, it originally started out as a movie. So it's a supernatural roller derby project. I say project just because it encompasses so many things, and brand feels so, like a little pretentious and bougie, but I guess it is a brand I'm building. It started out as a supernatural roller derby horror movie script. And then over time, well, I've been dragging this thing along for quite a few years now. So we originally, my co-writer and I, he came up with the concept of doing like a prequel comic book way back in like 2013 when we first publicly announced the project.
Okay.
We'd already been working on it for a few years. So, it's now not only, what will eventually be a movie, but it's right now we're focusing on the comic book aspect of it.
So what is the premise of the whole thing? Don't give me too many details because we're going to need to read it and see the movie, but what's the basic gist of the plot?
The basic gist is, Halloween night, a couple of roller derby skaters get possessed by a demon, and their friends have to fight to save them.
I love it.
Simple long line there.
In your role, you created this.
Yeah, I did. I did.
But you're not just the creator; you're also the star of the movie.
I created the film as a vehicle for my own acting. So that is my dream, would be that, but we'll see how I feel and where I'm at, like when we get to that point, things could change. I've already kind of changed which character I would want to do. So yeah, you never know. Like, yes, of course I'd love to do some acting. It's my favorite thing, but I'll do what's right for the project at the time.
So why did you decide to create this based on roller derby and horror?
Well, it was just a marriage of two passions. So I started playing roller derby with Salt City Derby Girls back in 2006. That was the first derby league in Utah, flat track. And I played for like 2-3 seasons and kind of fell into acting during my last season. And you know how derby is, it can be, well, they had put me on the chair of, basically I was HR, and like, so everybody who was in trouble had to like deal with me.
It was like that position before. It's hard.
Like the compliance person.
Yes.
Worst thing ever. I was like, I should have been over events. I would have been better served. But there's a lot of drama in derby, and as with any sport, really. But I just was getting a little worn down from it and fell into the acting world and filmmaking stuff and realized that my passion for that was stronger. And so I quit derby to just focus on acting and film. And then after the first film I worked on, it was a little short horror movie. And I was like, after it ended, I was like, oh my God, that was like the best time of my life. I really want to make another horror movie. And I don't come from like a big background of loving horror films.
I read that you actually kind of hate horror movies.
Yeah, I used to just really hate them. And But after that first film, I gained like a really healthy respect and a new perspective of them. So, I'm not the person that seeks out every brand new horror film, I'm definitely not that person. I don't love gore, except if I'm working on it in a movie. So yeah, Hellskate does have a lot of gore. The aesthetic is like glitter and blood. So, Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so that's how I was sitting on the couch one day, kind of like in that depressive state of like, oh, that was the best time ever working on that film. It can never be repeated, but I've got to do something on my own. And I think I was actually watching the Rihanna video for Disturbia.
Okay.
And so that was like a huge influence on like my brain to come up with like, oh my God, I need to do a roller derby horror film. So that's how it came about. And that was like 2009.
That's a long time ago. And so on your website, you've got basically six steps to your dream to creating all of this. What are the six steps that you are the six, what's the plan as you call it on your website?
Yeah, the plan, I mean, and it's not in any specific order necessarily. It's things,
I was like, wondering about that.
Yeah, I've had to like pivot quite a few times already. So, you know, I finally got out this first issue of the comic book series. It's the first in three, and it is based off the movie script. So it's okay. Like the first act, basically. And then just keep rolling those out over the next year or two, while also trying to, you know, just build that Hellscape community of people that want to like be part of it all, you know? And that way, when I do have to go to, you know, outside investors and investment or financiers, I have way more power and things to bring to the table with a really like, you know, just a stronger IP. So that's kind of the game plan. And then make the film. Once the film is made, take it on the road. I really want to do a road show tour.
Yeah.
And then I also have from the get-go, because I do come from roller derby and you know how that is, it's DIY grassroots, especially back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, we fought tooth and nail in Salt Lake to really show that we were not just fast, loose women on skates.
Right.
It was like, we got a lot of, like, we took a lot of heat at the beginning and we scrapped and climbed our way out, and I was really proud of what we did. So that is like really ingrained in me to do like that really grassroots, like gritty, own your own content, you know, creator led community type vibe. And so within that, I've always wanted to give back to the derby community. So yeah, it's definitely part of the Hellscape ethos is, engaging and supporting derby leagues everywhere and derby skaters and artists. So I have a lot of ideas of how to do that, but part of that would be community screenings of the film. Okay. To where they can use screeners of the movie to help sell tickets and raise money and make it a fun like community event for themselves.
That's awesome. I'd love to hear that. And so you created art first, really, the art, because I see the art all over your Facebook page and on your websites. And then now you've got the comic, you've got the merch, you've got the meetup events, and you've done the fundraising events. And now you're working on the movie. Have you started filming the movie yet?
No, we're a little ways out from that. So, you know, it's baby steps, and filmmaking is a very, very expensive medium to be into.
Right.
And it does take a lot of time. So yeah, while I'm launching this comic book series, we're going to keep doing events, keep doing like the community building and engagement. And then when I feel like I have a digital art collection, I will release as well.
Okay.
And that's also to help not only with ongoing marketing expenses, because I've just been bootstrapping this myself,
right.
but to also like, you know, put aside of, you know, a good chunk for the movie budget itself. So I want to have as much as I can to bring to the table before I even start talking to any outside investors. And then at that point, once you get the budget, then it's off and running. And then, you know, a film can take, you know, a bit, yeah, like 1 to 2 years to get it out. So it's a long process, and I am grateful for the people who've been very, very patient.
How many issues of the comic book have you released so far?
Just the one, and we have three total.
Okay, gotcha. And then tell me a little bit about Chris Bodily.
So Chris and I met, I've been working with him, for about 10 years. I had seen his art, I think in like a local pop-up store, or I think it was a art gallery at like the Layton Hills Mall. And I just I fell in love with his art. He had a little show at a restaurant. So I grabbed Carl, my co-writer, and we went to meet him. And then I think I can't remember if I first hired him to do some animal rights posters for me. And I'm a big animal rights girl. So I was hosting a local protest for Empty the Tanks, which is anti dolphin and whale captivity. Okay. Movement. And so I had hired him to do some artwork for that, and it kind of went international. So that was really cool. And then after that, you know, Carl came up with the idea of doing the prequel comic. And so we approached him and said, "Hey, have you ever done a comic?" He hadn't, but he was totally game, totally into it. And
He's your guy. He's your artist. He does all the artwork for you.
Yeah, he's done it up to this point. Yeah.
And then you mentioned someone named Carl. Tell me a little bit about him and what he does.
So Carl Hoglar is a writer, and he's a really good friend of mine. I've known him since probably right around 2008. We met via my sister through a coffee shop window. I think she had overheard him saying that he was a screenwriter, and she said, "Well, my sister works in film locally, so you should connect." And so he was the first person I had shared my Hellscape idea with, and we worked back and forth on many variations of the script. We've also brought in some other writers to help here and there, but he's been my mainstay and my go-to. I always love working with Carl. He's just a lot of fun. He's from the Bronx, and he's a little bit older than me, and he's just like an older brother that I can give a lot of crap to.
It's basically the three of you. Are you guys the three main players in all of this?
No, it's me. And then my mom's like, "You got to take your credit. You got to take your credit." So I'm like,
okay.
It's my project. Carl is he's my hired writer. And and Chris is a work for hire as well.
Okay, gotcha. And then I noticed that you have featured some real life skaters in this comic book. In fact, I knew one of them, Crystal. Are your characters based on real life people?
Some of them, the names are. And I haven't announced all of their names just yet. I'm just kind of like slowly rolling that out. But Babe Rainbow, I don't know if you know Daisy.
I have met her. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So that's like the one name that is completely out there. And then there's a couple other characters, old teammates. I just love to put little Easter eggs in there of like my time in Derby and like some of the skaters that were on my team or I still talk to. And it's fun to kind of incorporate that. Like the diner name in the comic book and the movie is called Midgey's Diner. And Midgey Moto was one of my teammates way back in the day. And she's up living in Alaska and doing great up there. But
so if you've ever been involved in roller derby in the state of Utah, you might recognize some stuff, or even just roller derby, the roller derby community in general might recognize some stuff.
Yeah, I think so. I think mostly local, but yeah.
Now you talked about the investors and the costs and everything. What does it cost to make a feature length film?
Well, it completely depends. I mean, it's literally, it could be zero or it could be 300 million. Okay. So pick a number in between.
It really what are you going for?
I'm trying to keep it under 3 million.
Okay. And then and you're looking for investors eventually once you get everything going. And are you doing some fundraising besides that? I saw that you had a fundraising page on Indiegogo.
Yeah, we did Indiegogo back in 2014. I would probably never do that again. It was a lot of work. And I had spent like a whole year of marketing leading up to that so that I could have a successful launch. And I thought I was going to get a lot more local support than I actually ended up getting. And I think what happened was when I launched my campaign, it was the same time that one, if not two, of the Derby leagues were losing their location. And so they had to immediately like pivot and put all their resources and create their own fundraising. And so there was a couple like weird timing issues that may have lent to, you know, not as a successful campaign as I had hoped it would be, but I still keep in contact with everybody. I mean, it's like 9 years ago.
Right.
And they're all getting their the people that, you know, they're getting their comic books shipped out last week and this week. So I'm excited that I can like, you know, fulfill some perks there.
Yeah. They're probably very excited to get a hold of it. Now you said you, and you had to put a bunch of your own money into this as well. How much have you had to spend so far on it?
I will disclose that in the future, but right now I will just say most people would have walked a long time ago.
So. Well, and I know that a lot of it is your time as well. It's got to be all encompassing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's getting busier and busier, which is great, which is what I wanted. But yeah, it is. It's difficult because I also run a small business with my husband. And so, and I try to do a lot of like animal stuff on the side. And we just started with a friend of mine. We just started directing a short documentary on a wildlife center locally. And so, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to do, but you know, if you love what you're doing, it's worth it.
I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. I'm talking with Sana, who is creating a roller derby themed horror movie and comic book.
Well, and you mentioned your mom and your sister. So what does your family think about this whole thing? I noticed your brother is also involved.
Yeah, my brother's been helping quite a bit. He's done a lot. He's done a lot of like filming and content type stuff. And he can help with like some of the technical things like computer stuff that I am not savvy with at all. My sister just came down. They both came to RollerCon with me.
Okay.
So that was a fun sibling trip. And my sister's like, she's just so gung ho and such a good like people person, and people just gravitate towards her. So she's a really good salesperson to have with me. And then, my mom, my whole family's been really supportive of it, but my mom just found out she's more of the religious kind. And, she, you know, it's a Halloween, the whole script takes place on like Halloween, but she's so innocent and sweet. We were having lunch the other day and she was asking how RollerCon went. And I said, well, yeah, we had like, there's some God Squad team members that came over to say hi. And, I didn't know that there was a God Squad derby group. And so, you know, they were really friendly and nice, but they're definitely like Jesus loves derby girls type. And, which is cool. Like what, you know, whatever, that's great. But so I was telling my mom about it, 'cause I knew she would really appreciate that. And I just kind of said, yeah. And, you know, we kind of laughed because we said, well, our thing's more about demonic possession. You're more on the Jesus love side. But, and my mom just kind of like got really quiet and she said, oh, I knew it was about Halloween, but I didn't know it was about demonic possession.
Oh. And it seems like it's a little bit sexy too, from that you had a little commercial clip that you had, and from the artwork, it looks like it's a little bit sexy as well. How does she feel about that?
She hasn't commented on that. And I will say that's definitely like, I don't have a problem with sexy people. Like, I don't have a problem with that at all, especially if it's like from the creator, you know. But I have had to tell Chris with the art, like, this is not a sexual movie. Like, it's not like sexually charged movie. It's not that. If people happen to be considered attractive or somebody happens to find them sexually attractive, that's fine. But that's not like it's not what the driving force is.
Gotcha.
And you know, in the beginning, when we first started like putting photo shoots out and stuff like that, I mean, there is something I think that can be a little like naturally sexy about demons and demon women and what, like succubus type stuff. But I've definitely kind of started to move a little farther away from that. I think like the main photo shoot that we had done back in the day, it was definitely like way more like in your face, like, you know, tits up, you know, stuff like that, but which is fine. It still comes from a place of like authenticity, but I don't know. It's just, I also like with age, I find a lot of that stuff very boring now. So I don't know. You just kind of, I think with age, you kind of just grow up and you're just like, okay, sex sells. That's fine. That's just part of it. But it's also very uninteresting at some point.
Well, and I was wondering about that as well. What year did you, before you announced it, what year did you start this, when the idea came to your head and you started putting it together, what year was it?
That would have been like 2008.
And then you told people in 2013, you made a declaration out loud, I'm making this movie.
Yeah.
So a lot has to have changed from 2008 until now, including you. I mean, you've grown older. And I'm wondering how you have changed and maybe how the premise of the movie has changed over this many years.
Yeah, well, the story's changed so many times. And in fact, back in like 2016, I think I, 2015, I hit up Chris. I said, okay, let's get going on this full comic book. And he had actually, he'd gotten about 7 or 8 pages in, and I had had kind of like a breakthrough on the script. And I said, pump the brakes. Everything's changing. So I think that the bones and the skeleton of the original script is still there, but the characters have definitely changed. For example, it used to be like more of a love story between a man and a woman, but the more I was playing with the story and work fleshing it out, like things just kept not it. There was always stuff that just were problems to me in the storyline. And, I just couldn't ever really like tap into exactly what it was. And finally one day, just it was like 3 years ago, I think, what is time anymore after COVID?
right.
I just had this realization that the characters were saying, no, this is who we want to be. And it was actually a story about two women. And so it just organically happened that way. And it really just helped the story flow so much better. And it gave them much better conflict and much more to fight for than it had the other way. So
awesome.
Originally it was actually two men. There wasn't like a love story or anything. It was like two men and then like a sister, or two men and like a cousin. They were, you know, and then it evolved into the man woman love story. And then now it has settled on what it actually wanted to be. So
have you found yourself frustrated over time as it's been taking a long time to make it come to fruition?
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard. It's really, really hard to create, I mean, anything, but like something of on this level, it is hard, and it's hard to maintain like a cohesive and consistent, sustainable team of people. Because unless you have like your blood, sweat and tears invested into it, people don't have time to invest their life into your project, you know? So, you know, it's most days it feels like everyone's come and gone. And for whatever reason, you know, go live your life. If you got other aspirations and dreams of your own, or you have a sick person in your family you need to go take care of, or like you're just not into it anymore, that's totally cool. I totally get it. But that has been my biggest struggle and frustration is, and it has felt like it has slowed it down quite a bit, is not having like the consistent team around me. But I think also the universe is like, listen, like you don't make the rules. So it's going to happen how it happens. And so you're just going to have to be patient and just baby step it along, which is okay.
Now you mentioned you had recently gone to RollerCon, and it looks like you've gone to several of the RollerCons promoting this. I obviously know what it is. You want to explain what RollerCon is for the people who don't know?
Oh, RollerCon. It is the roller derby, and now also including all skate culture convention in Las Vegas every year. And it started in 2005. And so it's been around a while. I think I went to, as a skater, I think I went to 2006 and 2007. And then I was back in 2014 promoting Hellskate. I was supposed to go back in 2015, paid for my booth, had an ad in the program, funding fell through, had to pull out. Yeah, so, but what was really cool though, was like at this last RollerCon, they were selling all the old vintage programs, and there was the one from 2015 with my ad in it. So I finally got to see it. So I picked that up for a buck. Yeah, it's, you know, I think they had expected around 5,000 people to come this year, and it's from all over the world.
Yeah.
And like I said, it used to just be roller derby focused, and now it encompasses like all kinds of skate culture. So
I did not realize that they had added the other skate culture on. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's
really good. This past weekend then that you just went this past weekend? So how did it go for, as far as your project goes, was did the derby community have interest? Did you sell some?
I mean, I set myself a pretty lofty goal. So like the comic had just come out. Like I did a soft launch at the Ogden Pride Festival at the beginning of the month. This is just a very kind of a quiet soft launch. And RollerCon was really where I was planning to like premiere it. So I had set a pretty lofty goal, knowing probably unattainable, but I barely missed it. So it was like really, I was close to hitting like that dream goal. And I'm still hearing from people. I got a message today from a skater who said, "My biggest regret is I didn't buy your comic book. How do I buy it?" So I'm getting some cool feedback and like some residual responses like after, now that I'm home. So that's been really cool. And it showed that, you know, the marketing's working, and I'm really glad we went. It was really fun. We met some really great other entrepreneurs down there and skate people. So it was really fun.
Do you think that the target audience for the movie and the comic and everything are derby players, or is it for anybody?
You know, you would think like right off the bat that roller derby would be like the number one demographic, but it really isn't. I think it's like a close second. But I think it's more of like a comic con, like it's the comic nerds, it's the horror film fans. It's, you know, it's more of that. That's what history shown me like while promoting this. At first it was a little surprising that the derby community didn't embrace it more, but also, you know, I don't have VC money backing and putting big marketing plans out there. So I think most people just haven't heard about it, you know, obviously. Right. And so, it's still like a little mom and pop, little startup. So, but when they do hear about it, like the response down there was great. Even if they didn't buy, you know, even if they couldn't or didn't want to buy a comic, they were definitely taking the flyers and the buttons and, you know, definitely wanted to know about it. So that was really fun.
That's awesome. And then you have gone to some comic conventions as well.
Yeah. So when we first launched back in 2013, we were at the very first Salt Lake Comic Con, now Fan X. And so we'll be going back. And that was great. I mean, it was it was really good. That one stunned us. We did not realize that people were going to respond to it in that way. And it was a really amazing experience. So I'm hoping for that when we go back next month to Fan X.
Okay, good. I hope that you get a huge response as well. Now, what is it? This is your basically your passion project, so you're putting money into it. You're not getting money out of it. What do you do for a living? What's your real job?
My real job is my husband and I have a boxing and MMA gym up in Ogden, Utah. So
okay, and do you do boxing and MMA fighting as well?
I have had one boxing fight. It was kind of like an underground fight, but it was still a fight. But I do teach classes. I teach the women's kickboxing boot camp, and I've been doing that for 3 years. Prior to that, I was just like kind of the manager and like overseer of making sure that the ship stayed afloat. But yeah, I started teaching classes about 3 years ago, and it's been going really well. I do 12-week boot camps, and I've met the most incredible women. Like, so fun. It's been so fun.
That's awesome. You kick ass in all aspects of life, including being passionate about animals and wild horses in particular. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the wild horse issue is, it's a controversial issue in our country, but, wild horses are completely like, that's my spiritual magical place. And so I get out to see the Anarchy herd. They're a famous wild horse herd here in Utah. And so, as long as the government lets them stay, I'll be going to see them. But yeah, it's amazing. And my heart has always from childhood been in animal rescue, animal welfare, like Save the Whales. Remember the Save the Whales campaign way back in the 80s?
Like, I do.
You know, all of it. So, Yeah. And I do, I try to work with the animal rescues as often as I can. And yeah, that's, I would have to say, if there was one thing that I could, one thing in my life I had to focus on, it would be animal welfare.
And now you've done other movies, you said, and I had read that you had done something called Ground Zero. And then I found something else called the Sex Doll She Bitch.
That- Well, you're pulling from the vault.
Internet stalked you, girl. Tell me about those movies and anything else that you've acted in or had anything to do with. What's your deal with the movie world?
So I've done so much in film. We have a really healthy, robust like film community in Utah. So we've got a really big studio up in Park City, and you know, I worked on the first season of Yellowstone doing extras casting. So
that
I've done
where everything. I met you. We met before. I was an extra.
Were you? Yeah, you're on the first season when they've met. maybe I booked you. But yeah, so I've done everything from you know, background work to production assistant, all the way up to directing and producing. So just kind of like I've run the gamut. Acting is my main passion, but I love directing as well. So yeah. And the Sex Doll She Bitch, that was a short horror film. It was a comedy. And that was the very first movie I ever worked on. So okay. That was actually what pulled my heartstrings and eventually, you know, became Hellsgate was like from that film. It was about a blow up doll that that the audience saw as like a blow up doll, but the characters in the film saw her as a real person.
Okay.
So I was in charge of like, I was the art director on that, and carrying around a bloody blow up doll and other prosthetics was pretty fun. It was fun.
Can I see that anywhere? Is it online or can I see it?
I don't think it's anywhere online. Oh. I don't think. And I, yeah. But you know, it was interesting. It was a really fun experience, and I'll never forget it, but yeah, wild, wild.
Are you aware that there's a Twitter fan page dedicated to you?
Yeah.
Did you start it?
No, I was stunned when I think that stemmed from the Ground Zero movie. That was a zombie movie that I was in with a great friend of mine, Channing Lowe. He's a local film professor at Salt Lake Community College. And we did this little low budget zombie movie back in like 2012 or something like that. Didn't think anything would really come from it. We were just working on the weekends, making it. And, yeah, that somehow got some people to look up the people involved. Yeah. So, but I will say I don't know how famous people do it, because when I saw that first notification that there was like a fan page under my name, and then like they had put all my pictures on there, and it was really like, it's not healthy. I will say I don't know how famous people like even exist, because I was like, couldn't get out of bed for a while. Like I was like, this is really messing with my mind. I haven't done anything that I feel is deserved of that kind of attention from somebody. And I think the person who set it up was like in another country. Oh. So it's an interesting thing to experience.
Well, I'm following it now. So you've got another fan.
I don't even know if it's still active. So I have no idea. They've probably given up on me by now.
So when this gets all done, let's say you're finished, you made the movie, you did the tour. What are you going to do next?
Well, I would love for Hellsgate to become like an annual Halloween, not convention. I feel like convention makes it sound so big, but like, you know, an annual Halloween party where there's art workshops, photography workshops, skating, dance, music, film festival. I'd love to do some grants for you know, underserved, underprivileged filmmakers coming up. Like I'd love for this to be a more sustainable, you know, go beyond just my story of the movie and my comic book, but like other people who love the project, maybe they want to like contribute more and like see the story go on, or like creator-led communities. It's like, it's a really cool thing. And it's something I've kind of fell into in the last year with Film 3. So if there's anybody in film listening to this, go check out Film 3, hashtag Film 3 on Twitter or wherever. And, or hit me up and I'll send you some information, because it's a really, really cool new thing happening in film right now.
I will post it when I put this podcast out there so anybody can get to the link, because I'm going to check it out myself. And how can someone purchase your an issue of your comic book? How do they get a hold of it?
So I hope to have my online shop up in September.
Okay.
But right now, if there's like I had expedited only like 400 copies for these first couple of events I'm going to. But then the other main shipment is still coming. It should be here like in a week. And then
okay,
I can kind of promote. But yeah, if somebody's listening to it now, you can just shoot me a DM and like we can Venmo or PayPal and I can make sure you get a copy. Obviously, international shipping is like, ooh, wackadoo. But if you're willing to pay, I'm willing to ship. So,
All right. And you've got some events that you're going to be at coming up, including FanX here in Salt Lake City. And do you have any other events coming up?
Gosh, yes. September 9th, I'll be at the Ogden Farmers Market. September 16th, I'll be at the Harvest Moon Festival, also in Ogden. Then FanX. And then I'm hoping to get to the Wasatch Roller Derby Bout at the end of September.
So plenty of chances to come see you, to support, to come get yourself an issue of the comic book, to help. And I'm going to go ahead and put all your socials. I got your link tree and I'm going to post it when I post this podcast. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, I appreciate you so much. Thank you. The support means a lot.
I can't wait to see the movie when it comes out. And I'll be getting a copy of the comic book. Links to all things Hellskate are available in the post for this podcast. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Delightfully Different. Coming up next Thursday, I talk to a Buddhist rapper. If you or someone you know lives life differently, email me, lexiontheradio@gmail.com. That's lexiontheradio@gmail.com, or go to delightfullydifferentpodcast.com. And have a delightful week.